Well, this is Archer Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls until we ask for calls. We have with us this afternoon Dr. Garth Nicholson, who was formerly a tenured professor at MD Anderson Clinic in Houston, Texas, and taught medical school, taught medical students there for 20, 25 years. Certainly one of the nation's most widely known and widely respected scientists, who was forced to leave his place of employment because his man who was in charge of him, a retired Air Force military colonel, was murdered because he was going to reveal what was going on. And as Dr. Nicholson got into the background of some secret research that was being done at MBC Anderson having to do with biological warfare in violation of all of the laws of our country and the treaty that had been signed back in 72, and then began to find that they were using these experimental agents on Americans. I'm going to let him tell this story, but he's written a wonderful book, Operation Daylily, or pardon me, Project Daylily, with L, one L and Lily, Project Daylily, really his story put into a fictional background, but really based upon what really happened to him and his wife as they stumbled into one of the most amazing stories you've ever read. Dr. Nicholson, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, again, it's always a pleasure being with you, Stan.
Why don't you pick up the story there where I started and just tell how you really got into this. This must have been quite a shock to you as a scientist to suddenly realize that some of these fabulous stories you see on television that all about conspiracies, things like that really do go on.
Well, not only do they go on, but in real life they're even much worse than they are on television. I can tell you that from experience.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners what some of the things that did happen to you? And your wife, of course.
The story begins after the Gulf War when our stepdaughter came back. She was a crew chief on a Black Hawk helicopter in the 101st Airborne Division. And when she got back, she was training to be a pilot in the Army. And her health failed, and she, like 150,000 other veterans of the first Gulf War, came down with Gulf War illness and couldn't complete her physical for flight school. So she eventually dropped out of the military, and is now, by the way, is finishing up medical school. So she's been quite successful in a new career. But in the meantime, we were dealing with literally hundreds of veterans, about 650 to be more precise, who've been diagnosed with various forms of somatoform disorders. These are things like post-traumatic stress disorder, which in the previous wars were called shell shock and battlefield fatigue and so on. And we would now call them chronic fatigue syndrome and similar types of signs and symptoms. But nobody understood why they were sick or what was underlying their disease. And this is how we got into a lot of trouble when we figured out, at least for 40% of the Gulf War veterans, what their problem was. And this led us into an amazing story.
And, of course, what you found is that they had a chronic infection with a very specific type of engineered bacteria that must have been produced in a lab someplace.
Well, that's right. We found a very unusual form of bacteria called Mycoplasma, and the species we found was Mycoplasma fermentans, and we found some unusual genetic sequences, actually, in the bug that we found in the Gulf War veterans.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson, who is Professor Emeritus, or at least a professor, now living in California. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Garth Nicholson, who was formerly a tenured professor at the MB Anderson Clinic in Houston, Texas, taught medical school for some 25 years, has an amazing story to tell, and he's written a book. It's called Project Daylily. I've read the book in the original form, just got a hardbound copy, and thank you so very much for that, Garth. But it is a true adventure story. The only trouble is it's true, and it is the most amazing story. When you realize that this sort of thing can really happen in America, that there can be people out there who are actually genetically modifying and creating new diseases, terrible diseases that can either incapacitate or kill people. And those who stumble onto what's going on and try to expose it, of course, come under direct attack. And, of course, Dr. Nicholson's life and his wife's life were endangered many times. This book reads like a real mystery theory, a thriller, like a Tom Clancy story, but the trouble is it's true. So pick up the story, Dr. Nicholson.
Well, what happened was that when we found this unusual infection in the Gulf War veterans, a number of prison guards and other law enforcement personnel came forward with similar signs and symptoms, and we found that they too had this unusual modified microorganism. And this goes into a long story about unusual and illegal testing in the prison system in Texas, which we inadvertently stumbled upon, just like we did with the military. And quite frankly, we got into a lot of trouble doing the type of research we were doing, even though we were helping a lot of people who were extremely ill, and there were a lot of people who died. The last figure we heard from the Gulf War was 28,000, but that's not a number you'll ever hear about because it's highly classified, and we don't know how many prisoners and even guards and prison employees died, not only in the state of Texas, but other states were involved in this as well.
And of course, these were experiments that were done in the prisons without the knowledge or consent of the prisoners. And they were actually infecting them with the mycoplasma, and then they were they trying a vaccine with them? What were they really up to?
Well, they were trying a number of experiments. In some cases, they were trying out vaccines and other types of treatments and so on. We'll never know the full extent of it. Some of the data, by the way, that supported the fact that these were actually approved experiments was dug up by some of the families whose spouses or children got sick and almost died from these types of infections just because they had a person in the family who was working in the prison system and picked up these infections because they're airborne and passed it to family members. And this is exactly what we found after the Gulf War. These types of infections were passed to immediate family members.
Hold that thought right there, please. Just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Garth Nicholson. We're talking about this illness that was present not only in our Gulf War veterans, but it was also present in Huntsville, Texas, where apparently there were a number of prisons there. And the prisoners were given the disease, and then it spread to the guards, and then the guards took it home to their wives and family. And a tremendous outbreak of Lou Gehrig's disease, the amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, a terribly disabling disease, you know, that usually progresses with progressive neurological loss to death and then MS. And wasn't there a real epidemic of that there in Huntsville?
Well, in East Texas in particular, there were about a half a dozen prisons involved, and three of these were in a little town called Huntsville. And Huntsville is in an economically depressed area, which is probably why they put three prisons in the area. And a lot of the people in the town worked in the prison system. And so the sickness there was just unbelievable. And there were an absolutely amazing number of cases of very unusual autoimmune diseases, like, as you mentioned, Lou Gehrig's disease, 60-something cases in this one little town alone. And that's normally has an incidence about 1 in 100,000. And this little town is maximum 30,000 people.
So it should have had at the most about three cases.
Yeah, well, you know, you'd expect one case, maybe, in a town like that, not 60. And so there was an amazing increase in incidence of these things. And, of course, these illnesses didn't occur before the prison system got engaged in doing these tests, these what I call illegal tests, although they were approved by the prison system. The prisoners weren't given true informed consent. They had no idea what they were getting involved in. And we know a lot of them died. In fact, one of my pathology fellows got into a lot of trouble because he he blew the whistle on part of this story, which was the fact that these prisoners were to be, by law, autopsied in Galveston, and they weren't getting to Galveston. They were going to a military base outside of San Antonio, where they were being autopsied by Army pathologists. And then their remains were being taken to a private crematorium. And we know this because the person, one of the people that was involved in delivering the corpses, came down sick, and we had to help him recover his health and so on. So this story just goes on, and it's an amazing story, and I would like your viewers to actually get the book and read it. It's called Project Daylily. There's actually a website for it, www.projectdaylily.com. And on the website, they can read a portion of the book. They can also find out the credentials of my wife and myself and read comments from readers. We even have comments from a Nobel laureate from the Salk Institute. Other professionals around the country have volunteered their comments to be put on the website. So I think it's kind of entertaining. One of the other individuals who gave us a quotation was a retired Army colonel who was actually involved in biological defense during the Gulf War. So he was in a position to know exactly what was on in the Gulf War. And his final comment was, it's about time that someone told the truth about what happened in the Gulf War.
And so, they simply experimented with all of our boys and young men and women over there in the first Gulf War.
Well, they did, and unfortunately it's still going on today. Although there were some lessons learned from the first Gulf conflict, such as the huge mistake of giving multiple vaccines in 2 or 3 days, which is very immune suppressing, which happened during the first Gulf War. They've now spaced those vaccines out so that the vaccinations are not done in a 2 or 3 day period. But still, they're using the same military vaccines that are problematic. We've actually written articles published in important medical journals on the anthrax vaccine and how, what a terrible vaccine this is, and to be giving it to our men and women in the armed services is a true injustice.
And of course, whatever happened to the fellow, he'd been one of your fellows that worked with you, who was actually a pathologist who blew the whistle on the fact that they were not bringing the dead prisoners to his laboratory to be autopsied like they should, but they were taken to an Army laboratory. Why would they take prisoners from a state prison to an Army laboratory other than they wanted to find out how they died? And what does that have to do with the military? It was a military experiment. Whatever happened to that fellow?
Well, unfortunately, he died. And it's another one of the unusual deaths, or deaths under unusual circumstances. And the book is actually dedicated to six people, professionals, who died in the state of Texas under unusual circumstances. One of them was a boss of mine, who was a retired Army colonel, as you mentioned, who was murdered in his office. In fact, the same morning he told me that he was going to blow the whistle on the whole thing that was going on in the rest homes in Texas. And outside of San Antonio, there were half a dozen rest homes which were being used to test some of these biological warfare agents. And he was murdered in his office, shot in the back of the head, 15 minutes after I had this discussion with him. So we were under constant threat of being assassinated ourselves, so it was about time to leave the state and come out here to beautiful California.
Well, actually, you had a number of attempts on your life and your wife's life, didn't you?
Yeah, and they're covered in the book, and we had attempts everywhere from Moscow, which really caused my wife to be incapacitated, and she had a miscarriage of twins and has not been able to carry children ever since, so that was a devastating blow to us. We'll never be able to have any children of our own because of this, but this is the price that we've had to pay.
And really, the book is an amazing story, and you'll learn a great deal about medicine. It's written in something that any person can understand. But Dr. Nicholson certainly has published well over 600 peer-reviewed articles, and you can check them out on the Internet, or certainly you can check with any eminent scientist. They know Dr. Nicholson and his work. And at one time, you were actually on the editorial board of what, about a 10 actually journals, and you actually were the editor of a couple of them?
Yes, I've served on 20 editorial boards of medical and scientific journals. These are professional journals. I've been the editor of three different journals and I just actually retired and became editor emeritus recently, one of them. So I've turned down my primary editorial duties, but I've still serve as associate editor on several journals.
And now, of course, the thing is that you're bringing this material out to the scientific community. I think most of them really don't like to think of the implications, because what is going on is totally in violation of the Declarations and the Nuremberg Covenants, isn't it?
Well, these are, I believe, in violation, particularly of the treaty that the United States is signatory on, the Biological Warfare Treaty. Which really prohibits the development of new biologic agents, their stockpiling, testing, and deployment. And, we don't know exactly how many provisions of this treaty were actually violated, but it's very suspicious.
And, of course, you're not going to get the government or anybody in the government to investigate what the government has done. Think of the implications you're talking about. You know, probably hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars of lawsuits against the government. So, you know, it's better just to eliminate a few people who look behind the veil of secrecy and then keep on doing exactly what you're doing. Well, you know, one of the things you brought up, which was so fascinating to me, because I was always trying to, you know, actually confirm where AIDS came from, this disease we call AIDS, that has killed over 20 million people and another 40 million are infected now. We really don't know, but those are rough figures. Over half a million Americans are dead, another million are infected. But where did AIDS come from? And you actually go into a little of the background of that in your book, and the fact that it is not simply HIV, but there is a combined infection, and of course that's well known, you know, to the people such as yourself, and yet the average doctor doesn't even understand that.
Well, there's quite a misunderstanding about these complex diseases that have arisen in the last few years, such as Lyme disease, because all of these new diseases involve multiple chronic infections. In the case of Lyme disease, it not only involves the Borrelia spirochete, but in 70% or 75% of the cases, mycoplasma is also involved, as well as other rickettsia bacteria and other microorganisms as well. So these are complex diseases that didn't exist 20 years ago. And as you and I have talked about before, chronic illnesses like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia syndrome, and Gulf War illness, and all these diseases were just practically unheard of 20 years ago, and now all of a sudden they're becoming unbelievably common. And I get emails and telephone calls on a daily basis of people that suffer from these new chronic illnesses.
And of course, I think what's really quite fascinating that a lot of the children with autism have these chronic mycoplasma infections. Would that be because of the perhaps the material in the vaccines has lowered their ability, their immune response?
We think so, and also in some cases there could even be contaminants in the vaccines. Unfortunately, vaccines are not screened for the types of microorganisms that we find and we have implicated in these disorders. Autism, for example, we got involved in studying autistic spectrum disorders because of our work with the Gulf War veterans and their family members. Because when the veterans came back and they had these infections, they were passed, because they're airborne, to spouses and then to children. So the children in these families were coming down with the illnesses. But instead of having fibromyalgia syndrome or chronic fatigue syndrome like the adults, they had the autistic spectrum disorders. So they were being diagnosed with autism, attention deficit disorder, and so on. And these types of unusual signs and symptoms in children really were quite interesting, because we have an absolute explosion in the civilian population of autism and related disorders. And we think that it's also related to the vaccines, just like in the case of the military infections, and that those vaccines could immune suppress an individual and leave them wide open to opportunistic infections, which is what we've also found in civilians with autism.
And, of course, and certainly the people, the civilians with the chronic fatigue syndrome, don't so many of them have the chronic infections as well?
50 to 60% of them have mycoplasma. Another 10 to 20% have chlamydia pneumonia in particular. Many of them, probably 10 to 20%, are actually Lyme disease patients.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Garth Nicholson. A fascinating story, Project Daylily.
American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Garth Nicholson, and we've been talking about this plague of new diseases. There are so many new diseases that did not exist when I went to medical school, and of course, so many of these have genetic modifications that suggest that they were actually created in the laboratory, and they have the ability to create all sorts of new diseases and chronic diseases, and then they've got to try them out on people. Now, we were talking a little earlier about the AIDS condition, and of course we associate that with HIV disease, but also, as you point out in your book, all of the people, or almost all of them, have a mycoplasma infection, and not just a regular mycoplasma, but a very, very similar mycoplasma to what's found in Gulf War. Is that true?
That's correct, and as amazing as this might seem, this is another disease which recently came about. And we're not sure of the origin of this disease, but it's probably a laboratory origin. I think sooner or later that's going to be proved. But if you look at the genetic sequence of HIV, it's very hard to think that that evolved on its own, because there are just too many changes, and we don't see simultaneous evolution and change in all the sequences all at once in a short period of time. It's a gradual thing in the wild. So that and what we're also seeing now, the next epidemic, of course, will be the avian flu epidemic. And just talking with a scientist who studies this, it turns out that a lot of the sequence analysis, when they look at it very carefully, it's not really avian flu, it's porcine flu, which is pig flu. So already they're trying to give it a different type of name. So this person thinks that it's a laboratory creation as well, and that it just has to go another major change, and it'll jump into humans and be passed from human to human, and we'll have the next pandemic. So this is something that is on the horizon.
And, of course, this is really the most very, very deadly type of flu, because most influenza is very, very mild, and certainly a lot of chickens and a lot of birds don't come down with this. I guess chickens die from it, but a lot of the birds, they do fine with the avian flu. But when it's gotten to humans, at least those have been infected, it's very, very lethal.
Well, it is lethal, but it's probably going to undergo further change, because influenza changes fairly quickly in its sequence variability. So we'll have to watch this very carefully in the future to see if there's further change to make it more lethal, and if it jumps in that transition so that it can be passed from human to human. Right now, the only cases are from bird to human, but once it makes that jump and is able to infect humans, we're in for a lot of trouble.
I'm sure we are. Well, let's get back to the AIDS epidemic. Certainly the HIV is there, and then there's the mycoplasm. And of course, don't the majority of the AIDS cases actually have the mycoplasm?
Overwhelmingly. The numbers, it's at least 80% of the AIDS cases have the mycoplasm infection as a co-infection. And of course, there are other infections as well, but this seems to be a very important co-infection. In fact, Luc Montagnier of Paris, the Pasteur Institute, indicates that this is the true morbidity-causing organism in AIDS, that he calls it actually a cofactor in AIDS, because without it, AIDS wouldn't be a lethal disease.
So you could have HIV, and really you could live on and on and on, but it's the other diseases you get, like mycoplasma, that create the problems?
That's correct. Just having the HIV alone, the HIV virus itself doesn't cause morbidity or sickness. What it does is suppresses the immune system, and it's these other co-infections that cause the damage. And the most important co-infection in lethal AIDS seems to be mycoplasma.
So about 80% of the people have this, and certainly this is a very unusual type of a mycoplasma, isn't it? Not something that you would ordinarily see in the wild.
Well, we're not sure about the AIDS cases, because we really haven't examined that. There's quite an extensive study going on at the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology on the genetic background of the AIDS mycoplasma. But I wouldn't be surprised if there were the same types of genetic alterations in that AIDS-associated mycoplasma as we found in the Gulf War mycoplasma cases. These are something that... These are things that are done, can be done in a laboratory. Genetic modifications can be inserted into microbes and make them more deadly.
Well, doesn't the mycoplasma have one of the genes from the HIV?
At least some of the cases that we found in the military cases, they had this genetic modification where the envelope gene from the HIV was inserted in the mycoplasma. We also found that in the prison system as well. This is a very lethal type of mycoplasma.
So they have the ability to create new diseases now, and you say, who would want to do something like that? Well, we'll talk more about that when we get back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, Dr. Garth Nicholson, his book, Project Daylily. You want to get it, you want to read it, you want to get it to others. Fascinating, but frightening, but true book.
upset on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan Becker at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Garth Nicholson, formerly of the MD Anderson Clinic. Today, he, of course, has his own clinic here in California. He lectures extensively. He's called to places all throughout the world in consultation. I remember you were over in Kuwait for a time, weren't you, for a couple of months there as a visiting professor?
I was, and I was also in Cairo as a visiting professor. These were periods after the Gulf War when they had some problems, and they were very interested in trying to clean up after the Gulf War.
I mean, they had a lot of this chronic illness as well?
Well, chronic illness went up in Kuwait about one-third after the Gulf War, and they still don't have an appropriate explanation for all the chronic illness. There were a number of different reasons. But one of the reasons was the increase in chronic infections that just went through the roof after the war. This can be expected in times of severe pressure that it put on people and suppresses their immune system and makes them more susceptible to the chronic infections that are out there. But there may be some other reasons as well.
Well, I think that one of the things that really you offer, certainly your website, immed.org, has a lot of information there for people who do have chronic infections, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, people that have autoimmune diseases or chronic illnesses like fatiguing illnesses and a variety of other problems can go to our website, www.immed.org, and find out a lot of information they can download. There are a lot of professional publications and reports, even congressional testimony that they can find out about some of these things.
Now, one of the things you point out certainly is that a lot of the problems that people with chronic fatigue and many of the other chronic infections have is the mitochondria, which are sort of little batteries inside the cells, don't function, and there are some new treatments for that. Would you want to talk a little bit about the lipid replacement therapy?
Well, lipid replacement therapy is something that we've done quite a bit of work on in the last couple of years. In fact, we've had three clinical trials on this, and it essentially repairs the damage to the mitochondria that our modern living causes, and also happens naturally during aging and with infections and other disease states. Our mitochondria get damaged, and this replaces the membrane lipids that are essential in maintaining the insulation around the mitochondria so it can perform its activity and produce energy.
All right, now there are certain things that can be taken that actually do help this. And what about treatment for the chronic infections?
Well, chronic infections usually are treated with antibiotics, but we've found that it's very important to support the immune system. So we do actually suggest that patients undergoing antibiotic therapy also consider alternative therapies like immune support, for example, lipid replacement therapy, vitamins and minerals, the variety of other things that we really indicate to patients that it's absolutely important, changing their diet, for example. All these things are important. This falls in the realm of integrative medicine, and this is the type of medicine that we think in the future that holds the most promise for not only Americans, but for people around the world.
Well, of course, one of the new diseases that came up, you know, it's only been around maybe 20, 25 years, is Lyme disease. I'd never heard of that before. I went off to live in Africa for a couple of years and came back, and everybody's talking about Lyme disease. And of course, this is a very strange disease. And would you like to talk a little bit about that, especially the fact that, or the significance of the fact that it was first occurred in a place called Lyme, Connecticut?
Well, that's right. It first cropped up in old Lyme, Connecticut, which is right across the bay from Plum Island, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Research Station, where a lot of experiments on tick-borne disease were taking place. And, of course, it's just a bird flight away from Plum Island, and we think that's probably how Lyme disease got there, because it probably got loose from the laboratories on Plum Island. And there's a very interesting book that's written on this subject called Lab 257. Although we want people to buy from you, Stan, the book Project Daylily. They'll also like this other book on Plum Island. It's not as entertaining as our book because it's strictly a factual book. Ours is based upon true facts, but we've added dialogue and made composite characters and so on. But the Project Daylily, the facts are there. It's all the science is backed up by our publications and sworn testimony to congressional committees.
And I think it's a fascinating book. You certainly will want to get it. You want to read it. In fact, somebody just started five of them the other day. But we were talking about this Lyme disease. There are approximately a million Americans with Lyme disease. Now with 3 million Americans, 300 million Americans, that means, less 0.3%. So most people aren't too concerned about it until they get this horrible disabling disease. But this really does destroy people's lives, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, Lyme disease is highly underreported. That's because it's so difficult to get an appropriate test done for Lyme disease. There's still a bit of infighting between the CDC and other organizations on the most appropriate tests, diagnostic tests for Lyme disease. But these diseases, these new diseases like Lyme disease, I don't think they occurred by accident of nature. We and other people think that these are laboratory products that got loose, and now they're plaguing our population.
And of course, we see Ebola, and we see AIDS, and we see Marburg's disease, and we see SARS, and we see the NIPA infections, and the Lyme disease, and the AIDS, and the chronic fatigue syndrome, and all these new diseases that just didn't exist before.
Well, that's right. And why are there such an unusual number of these new diseases? Well, it all correlates to the development of genetic engineering and the ability to take various types of genes and put them in bacteria and viruses and so on and create new diseases.
In fact, one of the things that really intrigued me was that when these disease plus eating bacteria came out, you know, well, of course, when I started doing orthopedics back in the late 1940s, early 1950s, we never heard of the flesh-eating bacterium. And really, of course, it came along, I guess, somewhere in the mid-80s, or maybe the mid-70s. But, you know, and then we find here is a bacteria that was infected with a virus. It's changed. It became so much more virulent.
Well, there are a number of cases like this. Another example would be the antibiotic-resistant Staphylococcus aureus infections. That this MSRA type of infection that is plaguing our hospitals and so on. And it's very difficult when you go in a hospital because you're now susceptible to a lot of these new illnesses. In fact, there was just an article out in the New England Journal of Medicine on hospital-acquired pneumonia, which is on the increase. And so, if you go in the hospital, you're at risk for getting a hospital-associated pneumonia. And often these are very difficult to treat.
And, of course, the thing is that we have fewer and fewer antibiotics. Now, we have the old antibiotics, but they don't work. And a lot of our new antibiotics, the bacteria are getting even resistant to them, aren't they?
Well, slowly but surely, they'll become resistant. But we have to develop some new types of antibiotics, but we also need to develop some new natural approaches as well. And there's some interesting new products that have come out in the last few years where nutraceutical products based on herbal formulations, and these we're quite interested in. They won't replace the antibiotics, but they're a good supplement to them.
In other words, they'll tend to build up your immune system.
Well, not only do they build your immune system, some have antimicrobial effects and actually other effects as well. And so these help hold these microbes in check. And also with the antibiotics that are more directed at the metabolism of the microbes. And so it's very important to use a number of different approaches on these unusual infections.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to Dr. Garth Nicholson. And of course, we would point out that his book, it is really not quite as complicated as what we're talking about right now. I mean, it deals with a lot of these things, but a very straightforward matter that the person without a lot of medical information can understand. But it is really, of course, the terrible situation he and his wife found themselves in when they stumbled across the cause of Gulf War illness, or at least the cause of 25% of the Gulf War illness. And then, of course, there's so many people out there, the military, people in the SEALs, professional people with the special forces units, weren't used to being sick and certainly didn't want to give up their profession. And so you actually were able to help many of the members of the SEALs, weren't you?
Well, we were. In fact, my wife and I are the only two honorary Navy SEALs in the history of the Navy, and the only reason for that is that we were able to help a lot of them overcome their illnesses, not only from the Gulf War, but we're still working with them. We're working with the SEAL teams that are deployed into Afghanistan right now. In fact, one of the projects that we have there is using lipid replacement therapy to help them under the severe conditions that they're under maintain their strength and stamina.
And I think it's so vitally important that the tragedy is that the military doctors, a lot of them aren't allowed to do this. Certainly the Veterans Administration, doctors have been, in many instances, ordered not to treat the victims of the Gulf War illness. And you're talking about well over 100,000 of these people, probably even a higher percentage of that, were ill. And yet everything has been done to say, oh, there really is no illness here. It's all psychological.
They started out with that story, and it just didn't hold water because the problem was is that if you looked at their signs and symptoms, as we did and published in an environmental medicine journal fairly early on, the signs and symptoms don't fit with post-traumatic stress disorder. They fit with a real medical problem, not with a psychological problem. And we went from there to identify, at least for 40% of the veterans, what their problem was. Most of these veterans have overlapping problems. So in the case of veterans that were exposed to chemicals, maybe depleted uranium, as well as things like the mycoplasma and other microbes that they were exposed to, they come down with a very complex illness. So we have to take a kind of a different approach towards these patients and cover from a number of different directions their illnesses. And yet, when we look at the civilian population, We also see similarities there, that many of people that have been sick with chronic illnesses for many years, they may have heavy metal exposures, and they may also have chronic infections. They may have a number of other environmental toxins in their bodies and chemicals and so on, and we need to get these out of the body. We need to fight the infections, remove the metals, remove the chemicals, and so on. So it becomes a fairly complex procedure to do all this. And medicine, as we've trained medical students today, really are ill-equipped to handle this type of holistic approach to patient care.
And of course, you taught in medical school for a long time, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and so I know a little bit about it. I taught for many years in the pathology block in medical school, so I know a little bit about the pathology of disease and the training of medical students to deal with some of these problems. And in many cases, they're really not equipped to deal with these problems that need to be dealt with in a more holistic way.
But where can patients go to get help? And this is the biggest problem today. I mean, people go to their doctor and they say, well, you know, you've got gulf wireless, you know, here's a Prozac or whatever for your psychological problem. Certainly that's what they do to the veterans that go into the veterans hospitals. Where can patients get, you know, somebody who has the holistic approach to these diseases and these chronic infections and then the toxins and the heavy metals and the other things that have promoted all of this?
Well, one place, and I'm a member of this academy, so I guess it's kind of tooting our horn a bit, but the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, and they're located in Wichita, Kansas, and patients can call up the academy and find out if there's an environmental physician in your area. If you think that you have these multiple problems, that's one place to go. And the reason to go to an environmental physician if you have all these contaminants in your body is that they'll have somewhat of an idea of how to deal with it. Whereas the normal physician, if you went to a rheumatologist, he would handle certain things but not others. And if you went to an infectious disease doctor, he would handle maybe the infections, although they're very poor on these chronic infections like mycoplasma. They're very good at acute infections, very poor in general on chronic infections. But again, they won't deal with the heavy metals and other possible contaminants. So it's difficult to get the type of care that's necessary for these unusual chronic illnesses.
And of course, the thing is, it's not necessarily just one infection, isn't it? Many times mycoplasma and chlamydia and Borrelia, which is the Lyme spirochete, and then, of course, perhaps some of the others as well?
Well, that's absolutely true. In fact, we did a study which was published in a pathology journal where we looked at 200 chronic fatigue syndrome patients, and we found all sorts of combinations of different viruses, everything from cytomegalovirus to HHV6, the human herpes virus 6, to chlamydia pneumoniae, to Brucella, to mycoplasma. All these different types of viral and bacterial infections present often in the same patient, and they're difficult to deal with when you deal with them alone. They're very difficult to deal when you have combinations of different infections, and this is why Lyme's disease is so difficult to deal with, where you can have 3, 4, 5, 6 different co-infections all in the same patient.
All right, well, let's go to Patrick, who's calling us from Kentucky. Hi, Patrick. Did you have a quick question for our guest?
Yes, I just wanted to tell him that I've been dealing with a parasitic infection for a long, long time, and from long abuse from antibiotics growing up as a child and frequent ear infections growing up, mm-hmm. And I believe that that's the problem that's going on with me, and
okay.
I'm using alternative methods. And
All right, fine. Well, thanks very much for calling, Patrick.
I'll make a comment on that, and one of the problems that happens, particularly during childhood and so on, is that inappropriate antibiotics are used, and they're just used indiscriminately, and this is a big mistake. I mean, you really have to use the right drug against the right microbe, and often they're never identified. That is, the microbes are never identified, so physicians use broad-spectrum antibiotics because they're used to doing that, and that can be a big mistake in certain cases.
And, of course, they can also suppress normal bacteria flora, and then you get into even more problems. Anything
exactly.
else you want to say, Patrick? We're just about out of time.
Yes, I'm using alternative methods, and I know that if I go to a gastroenterologist, they're just going to want to run all these colonoscopies and everything on me that, you know, just take my money and then not find anything.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Patrick.
Okay, thank you.
That's
bye-bye.
Very common, and of course, you know, proper support, probiotic support is absolutely essential for these various bowel diseases. Inflammatory bowel disease is so common these days, and often we find that things like mycoplasma and chlamydia associated with it, and if antibiotics are used to treat it, we always say 2 hours after the antibiotics, massive amounts of probiotics, friendly bacteria, to replace the gut bacteria. It's very important.
Well, of course, there's just so much, and we just can't get into it. But let me suggest to our listeners, if you want to read a real live adventure story, about a real adventure story, because it's all true, Project Daylily, You Will Never Look at the World Through Quite the Same Eyes Again. Dr. Garth Nicholson, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Good night. Oh, and I did get those things you sent me on the lipid replacement. Thank you so very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts, entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, that's Dr. Stanback here. The book we were talking about, Project Daylily, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. An expose firsthand from a man and his wife, certainly an internationally known scientist, who was on the front lines of the battle to try to help the people with chronic fatigue syndrome and, of course, Gulf War illness. and stumbled into a government experiment, a macabre experiment that's being carried out on the American people, and literally millions of people have developed these chronic infections intentionally. And if you don't believe this is planned, if you give us a call, I'll send you the page out of a book written by Zygmunt Brzezinski back in 1970, where he talks about how in the future, why we're going to be able to create not only storms and droughts, but new chronic diseases that will so weaken the people that they will surrender to their enemies. Why are they coming to the American people? Are we the enemy? Well, I think you want to read Project Daylily if you'd like that page out of Zygmunt Brzezinski's book. Just give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like my interviews with Dr. Nicholson, we have 2 hours with him, an hour with Don Scott, another one with Sharon Briggs, who's up in northern part of California on chronic fatigue syndrome. Over 2 million Americans have chronic fatigue and or chronic fibromyalgia, probably 800 to a million chronic fatigue and another million with chronic fibromyalgia. And then, of course, you have almost a million with Lyme disease and a million with AIDS and a half a million with who've already died of AIDS. And, well, the story really is incredible. How could this sort of thing be going on? You need to get another four tapes that we have. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. It was a series of interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, who back in 1969 heard Dr. Richard Day, who was at that time the medical director of Planned Parenthood, telling about a secret group he called the Order that had a plan to create new diseases to disable and kill large numbers of people here and throughout the world, and to suppress treatments for cancer and to actually make American cars second rate, so the Japanese would be able to dominate the Chinese would be able to dominate the world car market. Now, this is 1969, and how they were going to get abortion legalized and promote sex without reproduction and reproduction without sex, and so many of the things that are going on today. The New Order of the Barbarians, and we actually have the transcript of those interviews, something you really need to hear to understand the degree of depravity that exists in the world today. And how do you understand it? Well, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our set of pamphlets, 3 of them, The Occult Hierarchy, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, and they will introduce you to the dark organizations that are really there. They have a different world agenda because they worship a different God. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can go there. You can see all the books we carry. We do carry the Berkey products, and if you'd like to get them to us, at Big Berkey or Berkey Light, you get a free video or 4-tape set we produced. And, of course, we want you to tell other people about our programs. You can hear our radio program is 5 hours a day on the Internet, directly or indirectly on the American Freedom Network or Genesis for the first hour of the program, Radio Liberty on both Genesis and Radio Liberty, and then 2 more hours tonight. We do a shortwave program. You can get the shortwave frequencies on our website, and then you can pull down all of our newsletters, and, well, you'll find a great deal of fascinating material there at www.radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, we're going to lose this country. And then lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. We do hope many of you will help us, because we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. As 5 hours a day, we reach out across America with the news behind the news. The story behind the story.